Thank you, Joyce, for that wonderful, pleasant introductory music. Good morning. My name is Johnny. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We are glad you could join us this morning. I'd like to read to you from today's opening message from the Daily Word on grace. Grace is my constant blessing. I discover grace all around me when I open my eyes, my mind, and my heart to the presence. Grace reminds me that God's love is active everywhere and at every moment. Grace can be as quiet as a whisper. It's in the love I hear in the voice of someone dear, in the warmth and tenderness of a comforting touch. Grace is in the heartfelt welcome I receive when invited to a friend's home. It's the bliss I feel when I know I truly belong. God is the heart of all grace as goodness and kindness in action. Always mine to receive and give in kind. My growing awareness inspires me to share this activity of God generously by calling it into expression. And from the Christian Bible, and now I commend you to God and to the message of his grace, a message that is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified. And that's from Acts 20:32. And now if you all join us in singing Surely the Presence while Joyce leads us. And now it's time for our opening statement. Let's all say our opening statement together. There is only one presence and one power active as the universe and as my life, God the good. Now it's time for our welcoming song. Please join us in singing while Joyce leads us in our welcoming song, Spirit of Life. Thank you. Thank you, Joyce. That was beautiful. All this practice singing for us on Zoom, you get better and better and better. It's time to greet your neighbor, folks. Now that we're in the center and online with Zoom, please greet each other with whatever you feel comfortable with at the center. On Zoom, turn on gallery view to see all of us here so you can wave and acknowledge each other. And now it's time for our announcements. I'll read the lengthy submitted announcements now. And then after I finish, please raise your hand and I'll recognize you and can unmute yourself and share your announcement with us. So we're going to start off with Grandfather's Medicine Wheel teachings. The next one will be next week, November 28, 2 p.m. at the Longhouse. It's always on the fourth Sunday of the month. Is Indian Christian Service. The next one will be December 12th, and that's always 2 o'clock p.m. at the Longhouse on the second Sunday of the month. The Chinook Jargon and Medicine Wheel teachings on Zoom are always on Thursday evenings on the same Zoom channel as Unity Services. They start at 5:45, where they have a little social time, and then the lesson goes from 6 to 7. The Medicine Wheel teachings are on the first and third Sundays, led by Dan Zarlengo, and the next one is Thursday, November 4th. The Chinook Jargon class is on the second and fourth Thursdays, led by Marcia Williams and Rainbow. Next is this Thursday, November 11th. Dr. Daria Funches' Circle in America continues its book and film club. The next meeting will be this afternoon from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Daylight Time, and we'll be discussing The Help by Catherine Stockett. Contact Dr. Daria or Susan for an invitation to this afternoon's event. And lastly, please help your church who practice prayer, meditation, and service. Volunteer right now to be a reader. And is there anyone that has any announcements out there? Susan.
Susan has a...
Circle in America is next Sunday on the 28th at 3 o'clock. Believe it or not, Christmas is just a month away. And next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And on the 19th of December is when we will do our candlelight ceremony. A number of people have volunteered. We still need 5 people who will read a part as the candles are lit. The only 2 that are nailed down are zeal and love. So if you would like to participate, I would love to know who you are. And if you have a specific power you would like to call out, that'd be great too. So that's all I know.
Anybody else want to raise their hands? Don't be afraid, you're not volunteering. It's your turn to make an announcement.
Unless maybe you wanted to volunteer to be one of the candlelighters.
Okay, I don't see any hands out there. So okay. It's time for our unit. What?
There was a hand.
Did I see a hand?
There was a hand, yeah.
Okay, so I guess we're going to go ahead with the unity statement. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We practice universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Now it's time for a song of joy. Joyce will lead us in our song of joy, Count Your Blessings.
Count your many blessings, bring them on.
Thank you, Joyce. That was wonderful. Here's one of my blessings. His name is Esma. Okay. It is time for our reading. And this morning, our reading will be shared by Penny.
Author T.H. White, Dreamed Up Stories of King Arthur in the Mystical Land of Camelot. In his book, The Once and Future King, he wrote, "The best thing for being sad," replied Merlin, beginning to puff and blow, "is learning something that's the only thing is..." "The best thing for being sad," replied Merlin, beginning to puff and blow, "is to learn something. That's the only thing that never fails. You may grow old and trembling in your anatomies. You may lie awake at night listening to the disorder of your veins. You may miss your only love. You may see the world devastated by evil lunatics, or know your honor trampled in the sewers of baser minds. There is only one thing for it, then, to learn. Learn why the world wags and what wags it. That is the only thing which the mind can never exhaust, never alienate, never be tortured by, never fear or distrust, and never dream of regretting. Learning is the only thing for you. Look, what a lot of things there are to learn. So, before you let the new week begin, stop. Take a few moments now to learn something new. Think of a stray question. Ask someone or look up the answer. It can be something you've always wondered about, or how, or a how, or a how to that will help you accomplish a task that's been hanging around for too long. Learning will lift your spirits. It will keep your mind eager and interested. It will then be this more alive version of yourself that continues your own tale. Remember Rumi's words? Don't be satisfied with stories, how things have gone for others. Unfold your own myths without complicated explanation. Here on your life path, you are the one writing the story of your life, your very own once upon a time. The ink from last week has dried. It's time to open a new chapter. Turn the page. What story comes next in the story for you? Thank you for allowing me to read to you today.
Thank you, Penny and Rosa. Let's see, where are we at here? Okay, it's time for a meditation song. Please join us as Joyce leads us in our meditation song, In the Garden.
Thank you.
you, Joyce. Do we still have our slideshow person? Time for our affirmations. Please join us in our affirmations. We'll say them together. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time. And now it's time for the Lord's Prayer. This Sunday, we'll be doing the traditional Lord's Prayer. Let's all say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Joyce. And now it's time for a speaker. We are privileged to have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. This morning, Rosella Sims will uplift and inspire us with her teaching titled, Your Good Work.
Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be back with you again. It seems like it's been a long time since I've been here. But one of the things I want to say right off the bat is I notice how you all personalize everything you say. And you know, that's quite amazing, actually, because that shows your maturity. It's hard for people to bring it that close to home and to realize we are it. We are it. And so I commend you on all your affirmations and everything that you say. I really noticed that. So good for you. Well, today I want to, in honor of Thanksgiving, I want to talk to you about gratitude and living in that state of gratitude, as well as those things in Unity, those tools that Unity have given to us to assist us to live in that state of gratitude. If you haven't caught on to me, I'm very old Unity. I come from very old Unity, and the reason why is because I know it works. I am a person that healed myself of MS in the late 80s, early 90s, and it was through practicing these principles that happened. And so I, in my retirement, made a decision that that's what I was going to be about, teaching people the different tools and the techniques and the practice, helping them develop a practice, because I know that it really works, and I want everyone to experience this way of living and this way of loving. So I want to start with a story. I want to start with a story about someone that it seemed that was grateful, but as we get into it, you can see that this is not really what gratitude is about. It's about a stone cutter. There once was a stone cutter who lived alone. Though he had acquired a great skill, he was very poor. He lived in a tiny bamboo hut, and his clothing was tattered. One day, as a stone cutter was working with hammer and chisel upon a huge stone, he heard the crowd gathering in the streets. By their shouts, he could tell that the king was coming to visit his humble village. Joining the procession, the stone cutter gazed in awe at the king dressed in marvelous silks and greeted by his subjects, "Oh, how I wish I had the power and the glory of a king," he thought. "He has soldiers at his command. There is no one more powerful than the king." His cry was heard in the heavens, and immediately the humble stone cutter was transformed into a powerful king. He found himself riding on a great horse, waving at the crowds of people who flocked to see him. "This is power," he thought. As summer progressed, however, the new king watched the effects of the heat upon his people. Men and animals became weary and plants withered under the powerful rays of the sun. As he looked at the sky, the new king realized that the sun was far more powerful than any earthly ruler. "How I wish I were as powerful as that," he thought. "I wish I were the sun." And immediately his wish was granted. How the stone cutter relished his new role as the sun. He gloried in the power he felt as he surveyed the kingdoms below him. As he sent bright light to the earth, he watched kings and princes hide under their parasols. He watched as powerful warriors became weak under his gaze. Even the crops in the field were under his command. And then one day, a tiny cloud moved over the land, shielding the earth from the sun's bright rays. Seeing that here was something more powerful, he thought, "I want very much to be a cloud." And again, his wish was granted. Now he blocked the sun's rays and felt important. He gathered all of his strength, becoming a gigantic cloud, and began to pour down rain on the earth. Rivers formed where previously there were none, and water flooded the streets of the cities and the farmland. Everything, tree, animals, people, seemed to be awed by his power. Everything except a huge rock that remained untouched. And again, he discovered something more powerful. "There is nothing," he thought, "as powerful as rock. How I wish I were a huge stone." His wish was once again granted. I lost my place. As a stone, he remained motionless and powerful, unmoved by either sun or rain or anything that nature could bring. The stone cutter felt exempt from all the forces that shaped the life and existence of those around him. And then one day, a man approached him, carrying a bag.
"Can you come up here?"
When he stopped, he pulled out a chisel and a hammer and began to chip away at the rock. Realizing that the man with the tool was more powerful than any rock, he cried out, "Oh, I want to be a stone cutter." And once again, his wish was granted, and he lived in a bamboo hut and made a living with his hammer and chisel. So we can see that even though he was grateful at the time when his wishes were granted, then he became discontent. But is that what gratitude is? And is that what it's about? You see, gratitude, when we live in that state of gratitude, we're also in our state of faith. Who are we making our source? are we thanking, are we, you know, thanking like he did, he was thanking all those outside of himself. But when we truly live in that state of gratitude, we come to realize that it's about God as our source, or the universe as our source, not those outside of us that are going to make us content or happy. In unity, I love the unity way of living, like I said, and I have found great freedom in the unity way of living. I have found the teachings have given me the freedom to realize how much I have in the choices that I make, that is truly where my power lies, in the choices that I make. That is what truly free will is all about. So I wanted to talk to you today about a four-legged stool that we have in unity. I call it the toolkit. It's the unity toolkit. And it is a four-legged stool that we can sit upon as we travel and evolve and progress on our journey through this life. Now, the first leg of that stool are the five basic principles in unity. And I know I talk about these principles a lot, and the reason why I talk about them is because usually they're overlooked. People really don't understand them. And we don't understand that they're actually a process for transformation. And so that first one is that you all said, there is one presence and one power in the universe, God, the good omnipotence. You know, that means that there is no other power. There is no demonic power out there. Of course, we see evil in the world, don't we? But that's as a result of us being in that state of separation from God. And then that second one is that within each one of us, we have that God opportunity, that God presence, that God potential that's within us, that Jesus fully actualized. We have that same opportunity within us. The third one is that the king law, the king rule, that will help us in our life when we come to really understand it. And that is that third principle. The thoughts that I hold in my mind are going to produce after their kind. In other words, if I'm thinking a certain way, that's what I'm going to see, because that's the filter that I look through. Then the fourth one is how we can change those thoughts, because we all have negative thoughts. We all have them. That's true. So in unity, we look to prayer and meditation to change those, our thinking. And the type of prayer that we are talking about is important, because it's affirmative prayer. It's using denials and affirmations. And the denials are as important as the affirmation, because in the denial, what we do is we get hold of what that weed is that's really creating the suffering that we're seeing. So we want to erase that. We want to use our power of renunciation on that. We want to release it, pick the weed. And then we want to replace it with a higher way of being, a higher way of knowing, a higher way of living. And that's what the affirmation is. The fifth one is simple. It's not enough to just know these principles intellectually. We must work them. So it's a process. It's a process of transformation. And that is our first leg. The second leg is our five-step prayer method. Now, this five-step prayer method is really a process for realization. In unity, we have something unique to us, and that is the silence. But all the silence is holding space for realization. So that first step in the five-step prayer method is relaxation. And the reason why that's so important is because if the body is not relaxed, there is no flow. And so if the body is not relaxed, what we're going to do is we're going to block everything out so that energy cannot flow through us. We can no longer be the Red Sea. We become the Dead Sea. No information getting in, no information getting out. So we have to be in a state of relaxation. The second one is meditation. In Unity, we look at meditation as affirmations. So we bring in lots of affirmations. I and the Father are one. Every cell within my being is filled with the Christ presence. I'm one with God, and God is one with me. So we say those affirmations in that state of meditation. Contemplation is the next step, and that is focusing on one of those affirmations. Just take one. Be still and know God. Be still and know God. We take that into focus. And then the fourth step is the silence. We become still. And we just are still. We create space for God to show up. And then realization happens. It might not happen in that moment, but it will happen because we have just gone through communion. We have just gone through co-union with the highest consciousness. And then the fifth step, the last step, is thanksgiving. To be in a state of thanksgiving, and that's our faith step, because we are believing it has already happened. Remember, faith is a power. It's a power, and it's activating all of that we just processed, that we just went through. So that is our second leg. Our third leg are the 12 powers. You talked about having the candle lighting service with the 12 powers. I love that. How many of you really understand the 12 powers and what they're really about? Do you know how they got started? People think that Charles Fillmore wrote them and came up with them. He didn't. Emma Curtis Hopkins is the one that came up with these. Charles Fillmore found the location in the body for them. He gave them their seats as well as their colors. You know, so he added to her information. He also brought them into the Bible and showed how when they're in their young states, they're part of the 12 sons who created the 12 tribes of Israel, the foundation, the very foundation of the government. Well, remember, the Bible is the story of us. The Bible is the story of the soul's journey from first awakening to full self-actualization. And so those 12 powers are important in us to create a foundation within us. So what are they? Life, imagination, power, judgment, understanding, zeal, elimination, faith, love, wisdom, order, and strength. Those are all available to us to mature. And I bet if you sat down with a list of them and you really looked at them, you could see ones that you have been maturing in this lifetime. I know that that's true for me with love and with understanding. Those are the two that I really use a lot in this lifetime. I use the others, but those are the two that have brought me the most lessons, I can say, in this lifetime. So the 12 powers are also a process for transformation. You know, love in its youth, its immaturity, looks very different than love that's been spiritualized. It's very, very different. And so we can learn from that and we can live from that and actually begin to develop those 12 powers that are within us, because they are the Christ. They embody the Christ presence. They make up the Christ presence that is within us. And that fourth stool, the fourth leg of the stool, is an interesting one. It's called the Trinity of Trinities. Now, we're familiar with the Trinity, the normal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In unity, we also look to the metaphysical Trinity, which is mind, idea, expression. So we know that in its highest form, there is one mind, God mind. In at the second, you know, idea, the perfect idea of us is the Christ. And then expression, we give humankind is here to express it into form. We also have, personally, we also have that Trinity. We have a mind. We have ideas, divine ideas, which are considered the currency of the universe that come to us in our mind. And we press them out into form according to our faith. Now, the third one, the third Trinity ties in with this really well. It's called the Trinity of Consciousness. The Trinity of Consciousness is the superconscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the conscious mind. The superconscious mind is the Christ mind. The conscious mind is at the human level. And the subconscious mind is your collection bank. Right now, you are collecting everything and putting it into your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is connected to your soul. All the lives you have ever lived are right there in your subconscious mind. Your genetics come through your subconscious mind. And so how this process works, this is a very powerful process, is that when you realize that perhaps you've been holding a negative belief about yourself, then you bring it up to the superconscious mind, which is the Christ mind, for transformation, just like we did in the silence. So we bring it up, we go into the silence, we hold it at the altar for transformation. Then we receive a higher realization in that moment. We become more conscious. And that's how we create and become more and more conscious through this process. Now, I think it's interesting to think about this because the mind that I'm talking about isn't seated in the head. The mind that I'm talking about is seated in the heart. The longest journey that we will ever take is the journey from the head to the heart, from thinking with this to really thinking and operating from our heart. I'm not saying that the intellect isn't important. It is. It's an important partner with the heart to reason. But this is the process. It's the Trinity of Consciousness that actually assists us in personalizing, like you're doing, our lives, to begin to realize that life doesn't happen outside of me and then bring it into me. Life happens inside of me and I bring it out. I am pressing life out into form. There's a wonderful scripture in a book that didn't make it in the Bible. It's in the book of St. Thomas. And it is, I have to find it. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. This is all about the process of the Trinity of Consciousness. This is an opportunity for us to bring it up. You know, there's a wonderful song in Unity, Bring It to the Altar of Love. And that's basically what we're doing. We're not judging. We're not in a state of judgment when we discover these parts of ourselves that are causing suffering. It's not about judging us. It's about bringing it up for higher understanding and transformation. We're all evolving and we're all assisting in the evolution of humankind. I know there's a lot of people that are looking at what the time that we're going through and they're thinking, oh my gosh, it's a mess. We're a mess. I don't think so. I think it's a result of all the spiritual work that we have done, and now we're seeing it. We haven't seen it. You have to see it before you can change it. And so the work for us now is to bring this stuff up. If you find it in yourself, bring it up for transformation. The song we sing every Sunday at Unity is Peace Begins With Me, and it is a song of truth. Love begins with me, peace begins with me, joy begins with me. Whatever you want, it begins with you. And in Unity, we have this toolkit that assists us. These are all processes that will assist us in maturing spiritually. So we see less suffering and we see more love. And we realize that we are the instruments. We are the messengers of God's love right here, right now. So God bless you, my friends. Happy, happy Thanksgiving. And remember that you are gratitude in action. That's what you are. God bless you. Let's take this to meditation. I invite you just to close your eyes, become still. And let's just begin in a place of thankfulness. Thank you, beloved, holy, holy presence, for your presence that is within me. Thank you, beloved, holy God, for this life that I get to live. Thank you, God, for these 12 powers, these faculties for higher understanding, for higher growth. Thank you, God, for the unity way of living, for this new age that we have entered into. Eyes wide open now, we stand in gratitude. And so I invite you just to take that into the silence. Just hold a space for God, for that holy communion to happen in you right now. Be still and know God in the silence. Thank you, beloved, holy, holy presence. And so it is, amen.
Thank you, Rosella. And now it's time for our offering. While we are together in spirit, physically and virtually, we want to thank everyone who has donated to Unity by mail. We appreciate any checks sent to the church at 800 South Pearl Street, Centralia 98531. You can also donate online by clicking on the donation page on our website, unityofcentralia.net. We also deeply appreciate all the ways you give of your time, talent, and treasure. As we hold our offering in our hearts and our hands, let's say our offering prayer together. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now it's time for our blessing of thanks. Let's all say our blessing of thanks together. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Now it's time for our healing prayer. If you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, please raise your hand, unmute, and tell us who it is, or hold them quietly in your heart.
I would like us to focus some prayer on my daughter, Cora. And thank you.
I would like to focus some prayer on my sister, Jeanette.
Members of our community have requested we send our healing prayers and energy to members of our community who must deal with basic human needs while living without a home. Nia, as she heals from her long haul COVID issues. John, as he heals his cancer. And Tom is doing well and thanks you for your healing energy and prayers. All right. Say our healing prayer. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all beings and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing that all is in divine order. Amen. Now it's time for a prayer of protection. Let's all say our prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And now it's time for our peace song. Let's form a circle and join hands in Zoom land and sing our song of peace. Feel free to turn to gallery view if you're on Zoom so you can see all of us singing. Thank you to all who made our Sunday service possible. Please stay with us after our service if you wish to share in fellowship time. Next Sunday, we'll be taught and blessed by Eileen, as she once again brings truth and grace to our lives.